Okay, we're on the home straight, guys. All right, so Staff, where are you taking us next? Are we on to disaggregation, maybe?
I love your optimism, Sue. yes, we are, and it feels like we have discussed disaggregation already, but we haven't actually covered a paper 21E with the feedback on the general proposals and minimum line items. So I'll hand over to Ilhong, who will run us through that.
Thank you, Ida. So good afternoon. The agenda paper 21E summarizes feedback on the general proposals relating to disaggregation and minimum line items. Many respondents commented on the roles of primary financial statements and notes. Of these, many from Europe and Asia, including most users, agreed with the proposals and a few disagreed. Most respondents commented on the principles of aggregation and disaggregation, and the proposals relating to disaggregation and labeling of items described as other. Of those, many agreed with the proposals, but some disagreed, mostly expressing disagreement with the proposals relating to items labeled as other. Many respondents, including users, said the proposals improve clarity and consistent application across entities and ensure material information is not obscured. Some respondents said the proposals for other could result in clutter in financial statement, and disclosure of immaterial information is inconsistent with the proposal that an entity need not provide disclosures required by an IFRS standard if the information resulting from the disclosure is immaterial. Many respondents did not express agreement or disagreement and instead commented on the need for additional guidance or clarifications, particularly on the proposals relating to items labeled as other. For example, they asked additional guidance on how to determine shared characteristics and the minimum level of disaggregation. Some respondents, mostly preparers and accountants bodies, suggested the proposals explicitly state that the materiality still applies. A few respondents suggested quantitative threshold or a reviewable one for general disaggregation and other items. Some respondents commented on the requirements for minimum line items. Of those, some agreed with the proposals and some disagreed. Most respondents that commented on the proposal said the further guidance or clarification is needed. Some respondents agreed with the separate presentation of goodwill, and some disagreed. Some respondents asked the board to clarify the relationship between the minimum line items and the proposal to prohibit the mixed method for presenting operating expenses. Some asked for the rational or conceptual basis for the minimum line items, and further guidance or clarification on the application of materiality to minimum line items. Regarding fieldwork findings, most fieldwork participants said additional guidance on the roles of primary financial statement and notes and on aggregation and disaggregation was clear and was easy to apply, but few participants made any changes to aggregation and disaggregation. Many fieldwork participants said the guidance on avoiding the use of non-descriptive labels such as other appeared to emphasize immaterial information. Some fieldwork participants said that finding a more descriptive label than other is difficult because the items labeled as other included many different expenses. A few participants said what additional characteristics should be considered in applying the principles of aggregation is unclear. So questions for the board are in paragraph 39. Is there any feedback or fieldwork evidence that is unclear? Are there any points of fieldwork evidence there are new information or STEM need further research for the re-deliberations? I will turn it over to the board. Thank you.
Very much. My Wi-Fi connection's not going to switch my camera off, but I will be here. Okay, who wants to talk about disaggregation? Francois?
Thank you. And thank you for this part also of the analysis. Just a few comments on my part. I was interested in all the comments that were made around the other line item. And I really regard our proposal as a safeguard measure for circumstances in which a large item would be dumped into an other category. We have not prohibited the use of other. We have asked that the largest item there would be disclosed. So I really regard that as I described it. And I think in an ideal world, it would not be necessary. And I read comments as emanating from those who contribute to an ideal world, but not necessarily even that one. I also was interested, and I would like us to try. I don't know whether we can do something well here, but I would reconsider our minimum light items comprehensively, as he suggested, and trying to ensure that the final list is the outcome of a current thinking path. In fact, the suggestion I made that we do that with the IFRS specified subtotals is of a similar thinking. And I also think that we should do so reconsidering minimum line terms in conjunction with our really deliberations of whether we go for a binary or mixed presentation approach. Function nature, we're going to discuss that later, but I see the two items really being linked. Because our thinking around minimum line items may help us identify expenses by nature that would be better presented as nature items aside of function analysis. I also understand and sympathize with the comments made around the list of minimum items for what comes below operating profit, and I think that could also benefit from a more current thinking path. And finally, I understand the comment made around the helplessness or definitions of roles, financial statements on the one hand and notes on the other. I wonder whether we can improve in that area. Now, I don't have really a suggestion to make here for the time being, at least. And I wonder whether this is not an area that would be left to what some call judgment, meaning basically people define what they think is appropriate rather than channeling their judgments through what our principle require. Thank you.
Thanks, Francois. Tadao?
Thank you, Sue. On paragraph 21, you have included some concerns in relation to the line item orders. It's more a question, actually more than a comment. I understand that the line orders might be comprised of immaterial items, but because when we aggregate them, the total amount becomes material, and then the information on the nature and amount of the largest item in the aggregation is not about the item itself, but just to help user to understand the level of aggregation. But if the line orders results in an immaterial amount in itself, I think that we would not need this information because it would be a material item. Because I saw some comments saying that it might not be relevant to include this information. And the second item that I would raise, and I read these in some papers, is the term clutter. It might be very clear for the staff what you mean with clutter. But I don't think that this is a common term used and difficult to translate. And then if you want to include this, for example, the base for conclusion, why you are not adding or putting this or that, I think that would be good if you can define this term clutter, because I think that is much more behind this simple word. Thank you.
Thank you, Tadao. Jin Cha?
Thank you. So, just a couple of comments or points. The first is that it seems that many respondents, they demand more, they agree with the principle, but demand more additional guidance for the proposal in general. So my basic idea is that we should, if we in the future we explore some additional guidance, we should balance between the basic principle or basic, you know, objective of disclosure and providing more guidance. Particularly, we have a disclosure initiative, and we need to very clear, make clear what's the objective of disclosure, and in terms of what kind of additional additional guidance we need to provide. We need to well balance both. For example, some people ask for guidance on minimum level of disaggregation. For me, it's not very clear what kind of minimal level of disaggregation they really want. They want additional line item, or they would like to additional guidance in the notes, what kind of detailed information they need. So for us, I think we still should focus on objective oriented disclosure requirements if in the future we are going to develop. Second, it's the point related to the materiality. It seems that some stakeholders said that we needed to, you know, make it clear materiality will still apply. Some stakeholders say, okay, we needed to additional guidance to which we should include, you know, some specific disaggregation threshold, some quantitative threshold. I think we should be careful, you know, to introduce some kind of quantitative, you know, disaggregation threshold. I agree with we should still focus on materiality will apply, but should be careful to dig into those detailed threshold. The third point about separate presentation of goodwill. Some people agree, some people seem to disagree. And when they say why they disagree, they say that the goodwill is not sufficiently different from other intangible assets. I'm not sure why they say, because I'm not sure the reason behind it, because if we look at IS-38, it seems quite clear that goodwill is different from other intangible assets in terms of identifiability. And also from my point of view, if we look at the nature of the goodwill, because if the company go into, you know, liquidity, or in terms of whether the assets could, you know, generate cash flow individually, goodwill is very different from other intangible assets, because in the end, if an entity go into, you know, liquidity, goodwill could not be sell, could not generate cash flow individually, but for other identifiable intangible assets, they can still generate cash flow individually. So in this case, I think that there are differences there between intangible assets and goodwill. So so this is third point I would like to make. Yeah, that's all. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Jun Chao. Zach?
Thanks. So I'd start by agreeing with Jun Kuo's statement on the goodwill and other intangibles. I think there was an article just today about bankrupt retailers' brand names being sold at auction for value, which I think inherently makes something different in addition to the amortization characteristics. But I think my primary focus is on something that came up in the research findings from the field work, which is, I think the intent of the board was quite clear in terms of disaggregation and following type and characteristics of the line items to make sure that things of the same type or of similar characteristics were grouped and otherwise they were not. But in the field work, strikingly, these parameters resulted in less less disaggregation rather than more. And I think it's incumbent on us to go back to the fieldwork participants and figure out how their previous disclosures differed from others and what that might tell us about the future of this principle we're applying. Of note, a couple of the fieldwork participants actually reduced their operating expenses to a single line item, which I don't think fits our definition of materiality at all. And I think that's certainly my judgment, but it seems to be a very extreme example where we need to go back and figure out how the intent can flow through and where we need to tighten the principles we're using.
Thanks, Zach. Tom?
Just kind of echoing a little bit about what Zach just said, is, you know, the two participants who ended up with one line item after reading our guidance suggests that either there's something either wrong with the way they read it or there's something wrong with the way we wrote it. So that's a concern. And just in general, I think when we started this, there was a sense that a lot of entities didn't put enough line items into the statement of financial performance. And for example, even something like selling, general, and admin, and combining all those and saying, well, they're basically all the same nature if you leave it like that. I would have hoped our guidance would have caused people to start pulling these things apart, because I don't see that clump as being the same. And I have one small concern. I have nothing, I don't object to anything we did with other, but almost that other dominated. I'm almost more concerned with people clumping stuff and naming it, not other, something else, and then not disaggregating those big giant amounts, whereas the others got maybe a lot of items, but it may not be that large an amount. Clearly there's a problem if other is a huge amount. To me, this is a very important element of the project, and I really want our guidance to lead to people being able to look at the thing and look at items of expense that are different in nature and getting a reasonable disaggregation out of it. And I guess just to close, one rhetorical question for you to think about. I think Françoise made this point that I think some people said, well, they didn't change much. And I think Françoise said it may have been that the people who volunteered were already very good. So it might be that take a look at what they were like before. Were they already very good? Or, you know, were they not so hot and didn't change much? I just kind of want to know what the base was if we're going to do that. But that's my big one is can we get the disaggregation guidance to get a really good result at the end? Because I think that can be a huge contribution.
On that, can I ask the staff something? And I apologise if it should be clear from the paper and I've just missed it, which is very possible. I think when we went in with the disaggregation and aggregation proposals, we were thinking that there wasn't enough disaggregation when that's appropriate on the face of the financial statements, and we were really hoping that the new principles would improve practice. Do we have a sense for whether what we wrote was going to change behaviour and affect the sort of improvements that we were hoping for?
So maybe I will step in here. The proposals were intended to apply both to the face and particularly to the notes, because the face is, pretty much mandated by the structure and the minimum line items and so forth. And the points you made on the field work and the limited effect it seems to have had, and in some cases the opposite effect of the intended, is quite curious. I just want to note that actually in designing and setting up the field work, we did not specifically ask the companies to consider this as a separate proposal and tell us what they change and why they change as a result of that. And maybe this is now in hindsight, we should have done, but in the design of field work, we just focus specifically on specific proposals and then said, tell us anything else that changed. And I am concerned that maybe as a result of this approach to fieldwork, this wasn't maybe given as much attention by the participants as some of the more, precise proposal. So there is one point there to consider. The other point I think Simon mentioned yesterday is also, and Tom, I think you also reinforced it now, is the starting point for these companies already. And, you know, by the fact that they actually volunteer to participate in this exercise, they are world class in financial reporting and so on, were those the companies that actually had less room? And I can't comment on that right now. But what I can say is that we certainly plan to go back to some of them, in particular those with these counterintuitive outcomes that you have identified, and just try to understand a bit better as we go to re-deliberate. Because, Sue, I think, you know, this feedback that there is less effect than intended is something we have gotten through comment letters as well, that it, there is just not enough specificity for, you know, people to hook on, or for auditors and regulators to hook on when, you know, reviewing these financial statements. So something we need to look at some more, I think.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right, what's next?
Okay, very good. So, Rafael, I think it's nature function time.
Thank you, good afternoon. Agenda paper 21F summarizes feedback on the proposals relating to the analysis of operating expenses. Most respondents commented on the proposals and had mixed views. Many respondents, mainly accountancy bodies and standard setters, agreed, and some, mainly preparers and their representative bodies, disagreed with the proposal to require an entity to select the method that is most useful. Some of those who agreed said that factors included in the application guidance were helpful, including how management reports internally and industry practice. Some of those who disagreed said that entities already consider which method is most useful, so the proposals would require entities to incur additional costs for no reason, and the proposed guidance effectively gives an entity a free choice. Many respondents, mainly users, accountancy bodies, and standard setters, agreed, and many, mainly preparers and their representative bodies, along with a few users, disagreed with the proposal to prohibit an entity from mixing the methods of analysis of expenses. Some of those who agreed said that the mixed presentation has emerged over time, and the proposals are a good way to reset the boundaries of what is acceptable, and the proposals are not expected to have significant impact on entities which are not mixing the two methods currently. Some of those who disagreed said that in some instances, the mixed method provides the most useful information, and the proposals will not enhance comparability, especially with companies applying US GAAP. Many respondents, mainly users, standard setters, and accountancy bodies, agreed, and many, mainly preparers and their representative bodies, disagreed with the proposal to require an entity to disclose an analysis of expenses by nature in the notes if they present analysis of expenses by function. Some of those who agreed said that the analysis will provide comprehensive information and help users make forecasts, will help reconcile the statement of cash flows with the income statement, and will enhance comparability because it is less judgmental than analysis by functions. Some of those who disagreed with the proposals said that both methods are equally relevant, but the proposals seem to favor by nature analysis. The costs of providing the analysis by nature will be higher than the benefits, including some entities that may not be able to provide the analysis with their existing systems. There were 49 fieldwork participants who provided a recast statement of profit or loss. A few participants changed the method of presentation from a mixed to the function of expense method. Some participants, including those that maintained the mixed method, said that they were unclear about how to allocate some expenses to functional line items, for example, impairment of goodwill and restructuring. Most participants that presented the analysis of expenses using the function of expense method said that using their existing systems, they were either unable to disclose an analysis of operating expenses using the nature of expense method, or required significant estimates to do so. We've got the same question to the board. We would like to know if there was any feedback that was unclear that provides the board with new information or that needs further research. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary.
I'll start off on this with just a few thoughts in terms of my reaction to the paper and where maybe some questions, comments. I think the big picture one, well, I don't know if it's big picture so much as to me maybe the most additional work or insight is paragraph 25, 26, when you're discussing alternative suggestions, I get a sense from these paragraphs that users on the whole seem open to disaggregation of part but not all of the P&L, the expenses, particularly, and this may be my inference, but I'm wondering if it's particularly if you're talking about the secondary analysis in the notes, so nature in the notes, if function has been used on the face. If my understanding of 25-26, well, that section is correct, then I think making sure that we have a really good understanding of whether it's all users or only some or a certain type of user, whether, if it's a certain type of user, are they focused on certain industries and their views may not carry over more broadly across a wider range of entities, that if they have that view about there are some really important things that they need disaggregated and others are less important, if that applies only when it's the nature in the notes or if it is even when something is on the face, that would be helpful. A second, maybe higher level comment is to the extent, let me start that one again. You must use the one that provides the most meaningful information in some of the issues that were raised with the criteria, the enforceability, the potential for regulatory conflict, et cetera, makes me go back and say, do we need to say that you must use the one that is assessed as providing the most useful information? I would be surprised if somebody said, I'm deliberately choosing the less useful one. And I'm wondering particularly if we keep the backup, and I assume we would, of nature in the notes if function, then should we, step back and think about how important is it to us to enforce that, as opposed to saying this is our views on what you would go through in terms of, if you're an entity that wants to maximize the usefulness of financial statements. And then just a couple of things that are probably more on the operationality. Can you think about these a bit further? Not sure that they require any changes. Paragraph 16, you report some concerns raised about the intersection of prohibition of mixed but certain minimum line items with the nature versus function, and just to bottom out whether those are fundamental problems or not. And the second is, I guess I'll just express some skepticism about the difficulty of analyzing restructuring charges. I think they can be messy because they are likely to cross across a wide range of line items, whether those line items are function or nature. But I'm presuming from my experience, which is now out of date, that the amount of a restructuring charge is built up by identifying what costs are going to be incurred. So it shouldn't be a matter of having a lump that you don't know what it's associated with or what the expense is. It's just that it is likely to be reasonably pervasive in terms of its effects. So I'm a bit skeptical about can't do it as opposed to just may take some time and words and in space to do it. So the reactions, comments, thought about further work. Thank you.
On that restructuring, though, that came up in one outreach meeting that I was at, and I thought that it was not a sort of operational question as in a clarity, but rather a clarity question. So they were saying that if I add up you know, lots of individual items, and I call it restructuring. Is the act of restructuring a thing and therefore more like a function than a nature? I thought that was how I heard the question in the context I heard it in.
Okay, I didn't understand it as that from the paper, but that might have been my reading.
That was what I heard in the meeting I was in, which I thought was actually a fair question. Nick?
Thanks. First of all, I'd like to speak to the issue of the disclosure by nature for operating expenses when the entity presents by function. And this we know wasn't actually what users really wanted. They really wanted a full matrix by function and by nature. But we also know when we started talking about the proposal that went into the ED that this was probably one of the most contentious issues with preparers in terms of the cost implications, the ability of their systems to produce this information. So Mary mentioned a partial approach, which I would actually call a partial matrix. And this is where you might take a number of by nature items, and the most obvious ones to start with would be employee expenses, depreciation, amortization, because they're required already to be disclosed. And you would then attribute those to the various functions. So it provides you with some different information. I think perhaps in some circumstances, certainly some richer information. Now, Mary asked, would such a partial approach satisfy all users? I don't think it would satisfy all users. There's certainly some users out there who feel very strongly about having by nature always disclosed. But there are other users that are certainly more open to this approach. But what interests me by the approach is the response from a couple of organizations representing preparers who also see this as feasible. One described it as, you know, this may meet the perceived needs of users without significantly incurring the burden on preparers. So this seems to be a more doable route to try and get some information, some additional information around this. I think in terms of what we asked for in the DP, you end up with two schedules of operating expenses that you really can't relate to each other. So the advantage of this approach is that you can actually relate the by nature expenses, the ones which are identified, to the functions. But secondly, if it is those ones which I highlighted, the ones which are required, particularly the depreciation and amortization, that also makes the link to the cash flow statement, which is one of the arguments for having by nature information from users. So I think it's certainly something worth exploring to try and find a way through, as I say, what's been quite a difficult situation with preparers, some just not having the systems to able to produce full disclosure of operating expenses by nature, and providing not the information that all users want, but a different set, and in some respects, even a better set of information. It's that partial matrix. So I would certainly encourage staff to explore that further. And then in terms of the question around mixed measurement and prohibiting mixed measurement, I guess what I've learned through the outreach and through some research of my own, which is particularly new in this respect, is that US GAAP in practice is much more mixed than I had anticipated or I had kind of been led to believe. I thought it was predominantly by function. But when I look at it in practice, looking at S&P 500 companies, I find it much more mixed. And I think that together with, you know, the impact already that we have with minimum line items, it helps certainly some of our stakeholders validate a mixed approach. There are some stakeholders in particular jurisdictions for particular industries which are worried about moving away from that approach, losing trend information. So I would again be more open to saying, you know, primarily you should report by nature or by function. The link to that could be that the partial matrix that I've just discussed in terms of tying the pieces together for users wanting to preserve a time series. But I'm not sure that the arguments around prohibiting mixed presentation are as kind of watertight as I had thought they were going into the ED. Thank you.
Mary wants to ask Nick a question, which is fine, but I think we need to also just be careful that we're sort of focusing on questions and the analysis and not getting too ahead of ourselves in terms of just, you know, suggestions for moving forward.
Yeah, and Nick, it wasn't clear to me when you were talking about U.S. GAAP practice being more mixed, whether you were talking, could you clarify whether you were saying that there's more use of by nature on the face of the P&L, or were you talking about mixed within a single P&L?
So looking at P&Ls, I very frequently have seen cost of goods sold and amortization of intangibles on the face of the P&L for many entities, and fairly often depreciation being alongside cost of goods sold as well.
So you're talking about mixed within a single P&L.
Yeah.
Françoise?
Yes, thank you. I mean, I'm not going to speak at length on the point that Nick just made, but I would recommend that we investigate this partial matrix approach as an alternative to the full statement of expenses by nature. That aspect is not only cost, it's also faithful representation. That's what I heard more particularly from the highest level French accounting officers, that they would have a lot of difficulty making the document internally consistent and faithful representative. So I also very sensitive to the comments made by some of our respondents that usefully noted that we are misleading ourselves in believing that prohibiting mixed presentation will generate greater comparability when there is absolutely no guidance on what are the functions and how what expenses should be located to functions. So linking back to the issue of minimum line requirements, I would like the suggestion made by some users of a limited mixed, limited and regulated mixed percentage approach be investigated further, and this would be a way of circumscribing also the different nature of expenses that could be allocated to function and in a way in reducing the full scope, contributing to comparability better. I mean, that's also, I don't think it's something that can be done within the remit of redeliberations leading to amendments or to a future IFRS standard. But I was sensitive to what was said in relation to the same issue on paragraph 28, whether there could be a definition of a function, guidance for location. Of expenses and so forth. I was wondering whether that could not be the subject for a form of implementation guidance, so some non-mandatory piece of guidance that we could elaborate as a supplementary effort to this project and helping improve comparability in this area. And also eventually looking at what disclosures are being needed in order to provide users with understanding of what they get in different function presentations. And yes, that's about it. I think I had difficulties, in fact, understanding the controversy around the requirement of use of the most relevant approach, because we had as criterion the fact that it would be used internally that would make that relevant. And so I didn't see where the constraint was, but that may be something that could be further explained in the future.
Thank you. Rika?
Thank you, sir. In order to reduce operational difficulty of by nature analysis by the company that present by function, I think two things will be good to consider to reduce this operational difficulty. One thing is already discussed by other board members, interaction with the minimum line items. Because of the this already allow partial mix presentation by nature and by function. So I think one way to look explorer is a partial mix presentation approach. But another thing I want the staff also look at is the interaction with disaggregation guidance we have already discussed. When preparing the by nature information in the footnote, the disaggregation guidance matters the entity's consideration of the level of disaggregation of by nature information. So when I listen to the some fieldwork feedback, some entity actually asked me about the clarification or enhancement of disaggregation of this guidance. I understand some of the question might be beyond this project to consider because of the it matters applying the judgment of materiality. But I think maybe that part, considering the relationship with disaggregation guidance might help to this difficulty in a one way. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks, Rick.
Martin? Yeah, thanks, Sue. I have one question also regarding to this disclosure of operating expenses by nature in the footnotes. Because when we discussed it at the board table, when we developed this proposal, I raised this cost concerns. And some people said at that time, companies can do it, that is overstated, this cost concerns. And during my outreach here in Germany, I asked companies, okay, regarding this cost. And some companies said, okay, that they don't have only minor additional cost because their systems were already developed to do this by nature or by function. But also many companies said they have built a consolidation system, also intercompany consolidation eliminations for the expenses, only by function and not by nature. And if we would require that, that would be huge cost for them because they have to rebuild their consolidation systems. And you can imagine what that means for big companies. So my question is, when based on your fieldwork and what people have said, maybe if you have already this information or go back to them, is that the main reason? And if that's the main reason is, when I would say, okay, it is not a kind of overstatement by preparers. If that is the main reason, I think that is a big cost factor. But I wanted to staff to reconfirm and maybe go back to the people who have said it is costly. What is the reason for that? Is it because they have not built up their consolidation systems to do intercompany eliminations by nature, only by function? And if that's the reason, I totally agree with them. That would be a huge cost. And for me, then I think it's different since judgment of cost-benefit efforts in this regard. Thanks.
Do you have the answer to Martin's question, or is that for another day?
We have answers. I think Nick is best placed to comment.
I think it's something we can certainly follow up further. But I think our results in the fieldwork is exactly, Martin, as you mentioned, in that it was quite a mix. So some would come back and said that is the reason that it's expensive is because their consolidation systems are not built up to be able to do intercompany eliminations on a by nature basis. And then likewise, there are certain companies that are set up to do that. So we saw the same range that I think that you've seen in your outreach, and some of those had that same reason. There were also other reasons to do with the systems, but that's one of the challenges that some of the entities we had said was their problem.
Martin's nodding, so that was helpful, thank you. Tom.
Sorry, I just I always have trouble getting my thing to click. Yeah, just a couple of comments then. I think just 34B, I don't expect an answer, but I'd be curious about the three people who changed from a mix to a function. And was it easy? Like, why was it easy for them? And because then you have down below seven that didn't. So it'd be interesting just to know the rationale for which ones complied. The other thing on mixed is when I read the subset of letters that I read and from people I talked to, a lot of the reason people go to mixed, and it comes back to the issue we were just on, which is persistence, is they're trying to pull out the less persistent items. And so they're trying to do something that's, again, on a totally different dimension, more versus less persistent as opposed to nature function. And I guess my thing is I would be okay if in the end we reject mixed and insist on nature or function pure if we decide that. But if we do, there needs to be an avenue to talk about persistence, which is what we were talking there. So I see these as intrinsically linked because mixed is one solution to telling people about persistence, and there's other solutions, but to have no solution would not be a good outcome. And I think then my other one, just on the note, is just having listened to people, I'd urge staff to think carefully about whether there is a cost-effective compromise because, as Martin's pointed out, I think for a significant chunk of stakeholder entities, it may be quite expensive.
Thanks, Tom. The thing that surprised me most in the feedback in this paper, over and above what I'd heard about some of the complexities for some entities of restricting to purely nature or function in the income statement, was the sort of feedback that suggested that it was just a free choice, whether it was nature or function based on what we had drafted, which obviously wasn't what our intention was or our objective was. So did we do something wrong with the words, or were people not reading it as being as objective or sort of set of proposals as what we had meant? I guess, do you have any more color on why people read it as being free choice, which seems to come through in the feedback?
Nick, do you want to comment on this? Because in fieldwork, I think there were some companies that just assumed they can apply whatever they had. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't really have a response. I mean, we did certainly hear that. I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what the exact words that were causing them to go down that path were. So I think it's go back and look at the detail, potentially follow up with those companies to get a little bit more color, as you say, around the reasons for that opinion.
Okay. I think sometimes, yeah, on this and on materiality, some of the comments, I think we just need to be careful that we don't accept some of the comments if there isn't a basis for them. So if we could just dig into that a bit, that would be helpful. I'm not suggesting you are. I just think sometimes people find it a bit easy to make throwaway comments without making much, you know, to support what they've said, and we just need to dig in a little bit. Anne.
Thanks, Sue. I did just hear Tom say a preference for function or nature. I just remember, though, many people commented on the specific line item requirements. So we talked about it a little bit with the disaggregation paper, but we've really got issues when we're trying to say one or the other. We still have to give some attention to the fact that we've got these minimum line items. And so some people are raising questions about the new minimum line items, but also the pre-existing minimum line items. Now, as a board, I think that we stayed away from revisiting what were the existing minimum line items because we were concerned about scope. But as we consider function and nature, and as we consider disaggregation, we've also got feedback to process regarding new minimum line items, how they fit in, and also the pre-existing minimum line, the specified line items. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. And Tadal?
Thank you. So it's one thing that surprises me since the beginning. I always thought that when you are presenting your statement of income or statement of financial performance by function, you would need to open in your notes information about the nature of the expenses. Might not be all, but at least the most important. I mean, that information was already required. That was a quite surprise me that many people complain that they are not able to collect this information, would need to make big changes to the system, especially to the, I understand that when you are consolidating, you have to collect information from a lot of subsidiaries through the standard forms, usually. I can understand that, but this information was in a certain way already required, not the way that maybe we are now being more comprehensive, but it was already there in IS one. That's why I'm a bit surprised with that. And to be honest, anything that actually we include in our proposal in a certain way may have an impact on these consolidated standard forms. I mean, that probably some of the information will be necessary to be gathered. And then therefore, something that I think that the staff could also analyze is, because when we think about when, if we issue the standard, it would become effective. And sometimes we may think that it is just a matter of disclosure. Maybe it goes beyond. Maybe we will need to have more time for people adapt their system to gather the information. But we shouldn't actually consider only this argument for not including requirements that we believe it's quite helpful to users and that are our primary users. Thank you.
Martin? I think you're on mute, Martin.
Sorry. And in answer to what Tadeo has said, my understanding is, I'm not an expert because I'm a banking guy, I'm not this, but my understanding is that the main problem is in cost of material. It is not about staff cost, about depreciation, amortization. It is about cost of material. And if you have companies which I think material is delivered to maybe the parent and then you have to do consolidations, it is also not only the reporting package, the subsidiaries report, it is a kind of to do the intercompany elimination of this cost of materials. That is the main factor in that. And I totally would agree if it is only a reporting package issue that you add another line item which is required, I think that would not be the issue. But that is what my reason to the staff, if that was really from the feedback from people who have more understanding than I, if that is the main reason for the cost, and if that is the main reason, I would understand it. And it is different from adding only an additional line item in a consolidation package or the reporting package to the parent company. That is different. I totally agree.
Okay, thank you very much. And with that, it's 2:59. We were scheduled to end at 3, so it's probably a good place to stop. I'm actually pleasantly surprised we got through as many papers as we did today based on our slow start yesterday. And I think we've had a really good, thorough analysis on all the papers that we've discussed. So I'm hoping that the staff are still happy with our performance despite the fact that we didn't get through all of their papers. I think that their papers facilitated a really good discussion and I think they've got quite a lot to think about. So hopefully that's enough to go away with. Aida's got her camera off, so she's not showing me what she's thinking. So I'm hoping that that's helpful. With that, I think that's a wrap for board meetings for 2020. So thank you very much to the
Sorry, sir. I haven't realized my camera is off. I'm frozen. But is it okay if I just say a few words before you wrap up?
Well, I wish people a Merry Christmas. Absolutely.
Well, we can wish them Merry Christmas. And okay. just really to reiterate, thanks to Sue, to everyone, to, you know, for having done what we asked you to do in this meeting yesterday and today. You gave us lots of input, food for thought on the research needed, on the thinking about linkages. Like, you, I think, you know, everything is pretty much linked with everything else in this project, and we have some proposals that require that will require lots of resource to consider further some of the feedback. So what we will plan to do next time is, you know, run through the remaining papers, which we haven't had a chance to discuss this month, but also start discussing our plan for redeliberating, which will cover the order in which it makes more sense to discuss the topics. And we also try to have some discussion about areas where we prioritize our resources in further research, because clearly we can't embark on all of these simultaneously. So I just want to again thank you very much, and let Sue wish you happy Christmas again.
Thanks, Aida. So thank you very much to the board and the staff. I think a good board week. We got through a lot, which was satisfying. And I wish you and the people listening to the webcast a great festive season and a happy new year. Let's hope 2021 is an easier year for us all than 2020 has been. And thank you for listening. Thank you.